Welcome back to Money in America with Randall Turner. Today, my special guest is James Golson. He's the Education Policy Analyst at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Welcome aboard, James. And what on earth is the Texas Public Policy Foundation?
The Texas Public Policy Foundation is an Austin-based, non-biased think tank. We consider ourselves guided by, just the principles of free market and small government.
Well, I understand you've got involved with the Houston School District in their teacher evaluation system. Can you explain a little bit about that?
We did. Well, the Houston Chronicle last fall published a piece on looking how to increase teacher accountability. They had a performance review last year of their teachers in which 99% of those teachers received an outstanding job performance rating, which...
they must have only the best teachers.
Best teachers in the entire world, best employees anywhere in the entire country. It's kind of an absurd figure, and I think many in Houston ISD and the administration realized that, and realized they need to increase and improve accountability standards. And they've attempted to do that, and there's been kind of a pushback. Teachers, there are questions on how teachers are concerned about how they'd be measured. Very comfortable with the, kind of the status quo. Trying to revolutionize, reorganize things is being problematic for those who want it in Houston.
Well, let me ask you the obvious question, the dumb question, as they say. Teachers are usually pretty good at grading their students' work fairly. How come no one can grade a teacher's work fairly?
Well, I think some of the teachers' concerns on how their work is being assessed are valid. There's, they have concerns about favoritism at the district level, bias. There are questions of who should grade teachers, be that a state agency, be that their, their peers, their own, the superintendents, principals, that sort of thing. I think teachers at least would, I think they would agree that measurement standards, hopefully should be in place. I think there's kind of a universal sense of, we're not sure, and they're not sure who should be measuring those standards.
Well, to me, I don't know. Maybe I'm naive, but you look at somebody like Jack Welch, who was the former CEO of General Electric for many years, and he wrote in his book that one of the theories on employee performance evaluations, whatnot, the idea was you took the bottom 10% of employees and you fired them every year. You took the top 20%, you lavished them greatly with gifts and rewards, and the middle 70%, you just kind of watch them and, hope that they'll take the cue that either they get going with the program or their butts out the door or they're going to be rewarded.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to enact in the public system?
I'm really not sure. Texas has been making efforts to kind of make incentive pay and performance pay more a part more part of the public education process in the state. We've got Texas established the Teacher Performance to Date program, which is a performance-based metric for increasing or rewarding effective teachers. It is actually something that I've kind of heard with our budget crunches in a little bit of danger here, and Texas Public Policy is really hoping to save that. We think, performance metrics are hugely important in public education. Effective teachers should be rewarded, and we don't want to see the state take that away, basically.
But yeah, I imagine you're familiar with the Washington, D.C. education superintendent who was there for several years and is now gone.
Michelle Reed.
Yes. And remember, she fired several hundred teachers and then put another 700 and some on probation, basically?
Absolutely.
The parents loved it, and everybody else went berserk on her.
Yeah, I remember I know there was pretty significant pushback from the teachers. As I recall, another one of her big things was trying to redo the existing tenure system in Washington, D.C., offering teachers, kind of a surrender of the automatic job security, but with the opportunity to make considerably more money than they would have otherwise made. I don't remember the exact salary figure, but I know in excess of $100,000, and the teachers just didn't want it. I think the teachers unions ended up going for, going for the safe route, for the tenure route.
Well, I just read, I think it might actually been in the Wall Street Journal a few days ago. Is it Colorado that's taking their teaching system and saying, okay, you don't automatically get tenure just because you put your 3 years in. You must have at least 2 years. Is that the one? It's Colorado?
And I believe it is Colorado, yes.
And do you know how that performance metric is going to work?
To be completely honest, I don't think I could comment effectively on Colorado's performance metric. I'm not sure exactly how they're planning on getting that done yet.
Well, will Texas do something like that, do you think, though, in terms of the same idea of saying, okay, just because you put your body in here for 3 years doesn't mean you win the award for lifetime employment?
I think that is something that Texas is very much working toward. I know that's very much kind of an agenda item for us in the upcoming session, is getting a system in place where the teachers are, they have incentive to do a great job all the way through their careers, rather than working toward a spot where they can rest on their laurels. As far as direct momentum, I can tell you right now there haven't really been any bills filed along those lines, which to me is a disappointment.
That's amazing. I just find a lot of this amazing. Let me tell you a little brief personal story here. Several years back, we had a kid in a junior high school in McKean County, Pennsylvania. I won't tell you what school district. And the teacher took my son. He was in, seventh grade, I guess. Stands up in the front of the class and said, "Children, this is an example of a waste of good air."
Oh, man.
She destroyed that kid.
That's brutal. For what?
Well, we had just moved here from the South, and and he had been homeschooled for 6 years, and the kid had done wonderfully well in all these homeschooling things, and he had done great in math and everything else until he got in this woman's classroom, and she just hated boys, and she had a million complaints. I talked to people I worked with, and as far back as we could figure out, for 20-some years, this woman had complaints that people would go to the principal, the school district, superintendent, whatever, for 20 years, and they never did anything with this woman. And she even had death threats. I mean, she was just so horrible, and it turns out she just had this rule in against boys from everything we could figure out. And she just took him as an example. When we went to the administration, there was 1,000 excuses, and it just blew me away that they spent their life trying to defend this woman who was indefensible. And yet, that's just one school district. We have friends all over the country who have had similar kind of experiences because the unions are so powerful.
No, it's very true. It is far, far more difficult to fire a teacher, a bad teacher, than it should be. We're sort of hoping here that, again, I think I've mentioned, Texas, much like many of the other states in the country, is facing a bit of a budget crunch here. What we'd like to see is, pretty much every other state agency, education included, is going to be, facing greater fiscal accountability, or requirements to be more fiscally accountable because of this. Hopefully, school districts will respond by saying, okay, well, this is an opportunity to get rid of some of our dead weight, or at least make it easier for us to get rid of people who are costing us money and just not doing their jobs.
So if you're a parent with a kid in school these days, what is your expectations then in terms of how your kid is going to be educated? I guess what I'm getting to is, what recourse does the parent have to actually get a good education for their kid?
To get a good education for their kid?
Yeah.
I personally and, institutionally, we're very much in favor of as much school choice as possible. If I were a parent raising a kid, I would like to have the option of, if my kid is, if I put him into the public school system, which is, for me personally, that would be a huge maybe anyway. But if I were to do that, and for whatever reason, if he had, a really terrible teacher, the school wasn't working out for him, I would like the ability to, I would like to have charter options available for that kid. I would like to have affordable private options available for that kid.
Okay, explain that.
Much flexibility in the system, or certainly more flexibility than there currently is, is really what I'd be hoping for a parent.
So explain to me, how do you see a charter school system working then effectively?
A charter system, and charters are always kind of a hot button in Texas. We're very optimistic that the existing cap on charter schools in this upcoming session will be either expanded or removed. There's already been some push in that direction. I think the concern with charter schools is there has to be some way to accredit them, and at the same time you need the ability to shut down the ones that aren't working very well. because you know charter schools do have more freedom to operate. While that can lead to great innovation, it can also, you know, it can lead to looser standards. It can lead to a problematic education experience. I know that in the big charter bill that's been filed early, and I believe that was Dan from Texas Senator Dan Patrick out of Houston. There is also language in that bill that makes it much easier to shut down a failing charter school.
Now, a charter school is funded by what? 100% government?
Charter school is funded it is funded in the same way that a standard public school is, but it has more freedom to operate. It exists sort of outside the bounds of the TEA regulations that a regular school would have to participate in.
Okay.
So they have a little more flexibility in, you know, how long their day can be, how they do the learning itself. It's generally a more there's a little more freedom in the environment.
Now, Pennsylvania has an online charter school system. Are you a proponent of that idea as well?
We are a huge proponent of virtual education in general. The governor back in January announced an initiative to create the Texas Virtual High School, which is a form of I don't want to say it's exactly a charter, but it's basically a we have an existing Texas Virtual Schools network. It doesn't work as well as it could. There's a lot of red tape. It's very difficult for a student to actually end up getting a class they want. They have to find a provider district and get it approved by their local counselors. It's just kind of a problematic system. The thought was good. It hasn't worked quite as well as we'd hoped so far. The Texas Virtual High School would be more of a concentrated entity. It would be provided by the state. And it would be something that students anywhere in the state could, you know, fundamentally take any course that the virtual high school offered. So again, it's not exactly a charter, but it is a public institution with great course flexibility that is fundamentally available to anyone who wants to take it.
So how do the students do in that kind of environment then? And then I guess the follow-up question then, James, is not only does how well does the kid do, how can I verify that the kid is doing as well as they say he's doing?
That is always a valid concern with virtual education. There have been some studies. I don't have the figure exactly in front of me. I know that the INACOL is a group that is a general proponent of online learning. I know they have produced, there have been studies done by the, I suddenly can't remember the acronym, the National Education Agency, that indicates that students do very well in an online learning environment versus more traditional environments. And you might have to give me the second part of that question again.
Well, I'm just looking for verification. And the reason I ask that is when we homeschooled in South Carolina, and then when we came back to Pennsylvania, did homeschool there. South Carolina was one of the strictest in the nation. We had to go take all the reports that we generated with our kids down to the local school board every year, several times a year, for them to verify that we'd done what we said we did. And I guess that's the question I have with charter schools. You know, is there a way to verify that what's happened has really happened out there in the world of virtual learning?
Well, you know, I think at least early on, I mean, virtual learning is still kind of a burgeoning field, but I think some of the, you know, you're going to get some of your earliest outcomes or your earliest metrics along the lines of measuring that is, you know, how are these kids doing as far as college readiness goes? You'd have your SATs on the backside of that. I can tell you that for the Texas Virtual High School, those students would end up having to take some of the same, and like they would have to take all the same end of course exams that students who are in traditional public education will have to take. It's just a question of, in this case, greater flexibility in how fast you want to get it done or slowly, how you want to structure your own day and which courses you want to take to fulfill the specific requirements.
What kind of enrollment is there in charter schools? Any idea? I mean, is it catching on or is it kind of...
It is very much catching on. I don't have the exact figure in front of me. I know in Texas there is a huge waiting list existing for students who want to get into charter schools, or and just don't have, there just aren't enough of them right now. that's the big push behind getting the charter cap raised in Texas.
Amazing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time, unfortunately. This has been James Golson. He's with the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Hey, James, if people want to look up your writings, whatnot, how do they find you?
I think the Texas Public Policy website would be best. That's texaspolicy.com.
All right. Super. And we were just tickled to have you on today and invite you to come back someday too, James.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it.
Well, wonderful. This is Money in America with Randall Turner.